You were saying, may the Force be with me?
No, I did not. Jedi Knight. Jedi dumbass.
TheForce.net and RebelScum.com present the Weekly Force Cast. And now your hosts, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
And welcome to the Force Cast this week, your weekly dose of Star Wars. We are the official podcast for TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. This week's episode, once again, brought to you by Official Picks, your source for official Star Wars pictures and autographs. Remember to save 15% on your order by using coupon code OCT-THANKYOU. Again, that's OCT-THANKYOU. Keep in mind that any order of a 16 by 20 image receives a free exclusive Clone Trooper mosaic poster. That's free exclusive Clone Trooper mosaic poster. The offer ends October 8th, so get your orders in now. I am Jason, and with me always is Pete.
Yes.
And we've got some housekeeping issues to address before we start. And the first thing is, I owe you an apology.
You certainly do, my friend.
Last week, we've received the emails, which actually that was the reminder. All I can say is, I'm sorry, we forgot to run Pete's EU character of the week last week, which was a darn good one, let me tell you.
Well, and I don't mind that you apologize to me, but I'm glad that we can apologize to the fans for those people who were looking forward to it. So,
your denizens of fans. Well, anyway, so...
Both of them.
All right, so in case... well, of course you missed it, but nonetheless, here it is. Pete's EU Character of the Week for last week, Kyle Katarn.
Kyle Katarn grew up as the son of farming parents on the sullen moon of Sullust. His best friend was the labor droid Weegee, and because of that, he became one of the few humans to be able to speak droid speak. When his mother was killed by a malfunctioning droid, he left the farm to join the Imperial Academy. During his service, he became a respected and decorated stormtrooper officer. During a raid on a rebel outpost, Katarn met the rebel operative Jan Ors. Kyle knew Ors was an enemy, but spared her life as he felt a connection to her. Upon returning from this mission, he learned that a rebel raid on Sullen had left his father dead and their farm destroyed. While on leave, Kyle ran into Jan Ors again, who showed him the truth behind his father's death, that the Empire had staged the raid to look like the rebels had done it. Kyle defected to the Alliance and became a rebel spy. He was instrumental in many missions into Imperial installations and was the leader in the investigation into the Dark Trooper program of General Rom Mach. While pursuing the clues surrounding the project, Katarn rescued General Crix Maydeen.
General Maydeen
was captured by Jabba the Hutt and had an all-out duel with Boba Fett. Ultimately, he was able to locate the hidden research ship and destroy the project. After the Battle of Endor, Katarn was visited by the spirit of Jedi Q. Ron, who told him about his father's Jedi heritage and Katarn's own Force sensitivity. Ron told him to go to the Valley of the Jedi on planet Rusan. His father had discovered it years earlier, but managed to keep its location a secret. Katarn returned to his family's farm and found the map and the lightsaber of Jedi Ron.
This is the weapon of a Jedi Knight.
Kyle was not alone in seeking the Valley of the Jedi, and soon found that he was in a race with the Dark Jedi Jarek. The Valley could be a great source of Jedi power, and Kyle needed to defend it from Jarek, but was given an extra motivation when he discovered that it was actually Jarek who had murdered his father. The dark side guided Jarek to the Valley first, but Katarn fought through his minions to duel for the control of the Valley. Kyle resisted temptation to turn to the dark side and spare Jarek, but was forced to kill him in an act of self-defense. Luke Skywalker offered to train Katarn as a Jedi.
You must learn the ways of the Force.
But he feared the dark side and refused official training. Years later, he met Mara Jade, and the two lost souls began a reciprocal apprenticeship in which they learned from each other. After Kyle discovered Sith ruins and almost came under the full influence of the dark side, he accepted Luke's offer to train. It was short-lived, however, as a student's brush with the dark side caused Kyle to leave the Force once again. He continued to work for the New Republic Intelligence Service along with Jan Ors. This did not provide the respite he expected from the Force, as it confronted him once again when he returned to the Valley of the Jedi to rescue Jan. She had been captured by the Dark Jedi Desaan, who was a former student of Luke Skywalker. Kyle reconnected to the Force and returned to the Academy to solicit Luke's help.
We gotta help her!
The two returned to the Valley of the Jedi and defeated Dasan and his followers, the Reborn. Kyle then agreed to return to the Academy and become an instructor. He worked closely with Luke to train the new Jedi Order and became one of the most accomplished battlemasters at the Academy. He remained active with the New Republic and helped to lead the Jedi Knights during the Yuuzhan Vong War. After the invasion was over, he became a member of the Master's Council and an outspoken advisor of Han Solo, Leia Organa Solo, and the leaders of the New Republic. If you'd like to follow the further adventures of Kyle Katarin, you can do so by playing as or interacting with the character in the video games Dark Forces, Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast, and Jedi Academy. Or you can read about him in the Dark Horse graphic novels Dark Forces Soldier for the Empire, Dark Forces Rebel Agent, and Dark Forces Jedi Knight. He's also featured in the New Jedi Order novels Force Heretic Remnant and The Unifying Force, as well as the Darkness trilogy.
All right, so there's your EU character of the week for last week. I forgot it, but we got it in there now. So Kyle Katarn, check. We are going to have another EU character of the week, so stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up in our EU segment. But a couple more things we wanted to remind you of. We still have our top 10 by October 31st promotion at Podcast Alley. It's only been a week, and so far we're doing great.
We are absolutely humbled by how much people have gotten out and gotten on there already and voted for us. We've already skyrocketed into the top 10. Keep getting out there. Keep voting for us. We know you don't have to do it, so we're going to make it worth your while if you do take the time to actually go out there and do it for us.
Yeah, if we end up in the top 10 by the close of the month for October, we're going to do 10 straight days of giveaways in November with prizes from our good friends at Official Picks. You know, because again, this is something you don't have to do. You don't have to click through. You don't have to give them your email address, even though they don't spam you. In fact, all they do is ask for a confirmation. That way they make sure people aren't scamming the system over there. So jump on over to podcastalley.com and cast your vote for the ForceCast. We make it really easy, too. You can just look at our show notes at theforce.net and rebelscum.com for a direct link over to that site. So please do that soon. And keep telling your friends about us and spreading the word about the show. There are millions of Star Wars fans around the world, and this show definitely reaches all around the world. So there's no reason why we can't make this happen for you guys and for us and for our friends at TheForce.net. So we appreciate it. We have a big show coming up. We've got lots of news. We have what we think may be confirmation of the 30th anniversary DVDs. We have the entire Star Wars saga finally being broadcast in high definition. All part of one gigantic marathon happening on Cinemax, and we have news about Battlefront 3.
We'll jump back into the cantina for a third and final visit with Star Wars artist Joe Caroni.
And don't forget, next week in the cantina, we'll be joined by Kyle Newman, director of next year's Fanboys. So you don't want to miss that. Kyle's got a lot of great stories to tell.
And we're going to wrap things up with our listener mail and our Star Wars Tales section, so make sure you stay tuned for that.
That's all coming your way, so let's get right to it. Punch it.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
And our top story this week, Star Wars 30th anniversary DVDs may be on the way. A recent photo from a German Lego catalog may be confirmation of the long-rumored 30th anniversary Ultimate DVD set. According to a translation of the German text on the ad, it describes one of the key selling points as, quote, the Star Wars DVD set that will be released at the 30th anniversary will be responsible for an increased sale of the new Lego sets. I think this might be it.
I think definitely we are going to get something. It's just going to be interesting to see how they actually do it and what they do with it. Is it just going to be another repackaged deal where all of a sudden they just stick them all, they shrink wrap them together like a Best Buy ad, or is it going to be something spectacular? I'm leaning towards I think it's going to be something spectacular.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I mean, clearly this, you know, I've been wondering if the other, you know, anniversary for the other films, I mean, obviously we're going to have 30th anniversary of Empire just in a couple of years, and then Jedi in a couple of years after that, if those events are going to be as big as this. I don't think they are. So I think this is it, probably, you know, relatively speaking, for the next 10 years, conceivably. So I think this is the set. Some of various websites have, once TFN got this up over at theforce.net last night, Some other websites have started to propel this story. One of them made mention of they believe that there's been confirmation of an IMAX 3D release of A New Hope in May. I haven't heard anything about that. So I'm going to throw it out there. If anybody's heard about this, send us an email at podcast@theforce.net. We'd be anxious to know. We're going to try to see if any of our sources can confirm this. But, you know, it was on the internet, so it must be true.
See last week's show for notes on that.
Well, but they also mentioned that, you know, they're looking at possibly a 15-disc set. I don't know how they picked, you know, 15 discs. It doesn't really make sense when you got six films and 15 discs. But anyway, that's the number that's being thrown around. And kind of brings up the question of what's definitive. If this is the ultimate definitive set, what's definitive to you? What do you think?
Well, you know, I think Josh Griffin on the debate that they had on G4 made a good point. They probably aren't going to make a definitive set just yet. Or I guess it wasn't Josh, it was one of the other panelists. But and as long as there's a product for them to make us look forward to, and they're probably not going to make a definitive set that has everything that you're looking for. I think it'll probably be something that'll be pretty expansive. I think they'll probably add in a few more special features, deleted scenes, those type of things. You know, some behind-the-scenes stuff that they've maybe neglected to put in on the other discs. But I don't know if it'll be something that'll be totally encompassing of everything that we're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of wondered if we're going to see kind of like they did with the Godfather films, where they took, at least they did with the first two, where they spliced it in chronological order. And I mean, that it's sort of different because there were some flashback scenes in the second one, but it basically created one really long movie. And Lucas has said many times that he sees this as one long 12-hour movie. So I don't know if they're going to have maybe become some kind of a branching, you know, cut where it's actually going to be in chronological, you know, 1 through 6. I mean, I know that everybody wants to see the deleted scenes. We want to see the sandstorm on Tatooine. We want to see the encounter with Luke and his buddies on Tatooine before he leaves. Now, I'm not saying just, but hypothetically, if you went onto YouTube, you might see some of these things. And who am I to say whether they're good or not? I don't think they really add that much to the story. But what I'm looking for is, particularly with the prequels, when you know how much behind-the-scenes footage was actually shot for these things, I really want to see definitive documentaries on these. I love the doc that was on the original 04 release for the original trilogy that they did in cooperation with the A&E channel. And I really like the actual documentary that they put on the Episode 1 DVD because it, you know, showed George writing and it took it all the way to pretty much the premiere of the films. They didn't do that with Episodes 2 and 3. I mean, they just kind of, they gave us on Episode 2, it was like the puppets to pixels. And Episode 3, it was kind of like they went through what they show, like, you know, everything that is happens to a minute of footage and, you know, in the whole lifespan of it. So that's really what I'm looking for. I want to see the deleted scenes, but I want to see some really good, all-encompassing documentaries on the making of these films, because we know they have the material. So since this is sort of in the rumor category, we're going to ask an expert. Who better to ask than Jedi Master Yoda? So
the Force and its wisdom are all around us. Ask your will a yes or no question. Sense the Force in my left hand. Press it and answer you, I will.
Master Yoda, will there be a definitive DVD set for the 30th anniversary?
You will know when you are calm and at peace.
What kind of an answer is that?
That actually could be a an actual answer coming from Steve Sansweet at this point. And speaking of one long 12-hour movie, kicking off on November 10th, Cinemax will be running all six movies in their high-definition glory. The marathon will begin at midnight on the 10th, and the films will run in story order and recycle all weekend, ending at 7 a.m. on the 13th. Following the marathon, the prequel trilogy will air in order on Thursday the 16th at 5:15, starting with The Phantom Menace, and the original trilogy will air Friday the 17th at 5:45, starting with A New Hope. Star Wars Week will kick off November 20th with a new movie every day at noon in release order and at 10 p.m. in story order. And finally, each film will be available on Cinemax In Demand starting November 2nd with a bonus behind-the-scenes exclusive from Lucasfilm. Well, here it is, your wish granted.
Absolutely. I've been praying for this ever since I got my TV. And you had it first. You had HD first. And I got to say, when I saw it, it was absolute love at first sight. And when Revenge of the Sith came on HBO in HD, it just blew me away. And so I've been, yeah, this is something I've been waiting for a long time. So I actually don't get Cinemax yet, but I will be dropping HBO like a stone. for the month of November and December. So that's the nice thing. I think with Time Warner Cable, you can do that. You can swap them out.
Right, and I'm actually surprised that HBO didn't get it.
Yeah, well, I think we all had those VHS recorded versions of the films from HBO.
Right, yeah, and I
still remember the HBO theme music before it did da-na-na-na-na-na-na, how it went.
Exactly, and the light splash and everything like right. that. And, you know, of course, I tried to cram two movies on there because I thought it was really smart, so the film quality is really crappy. So, again, going back to the DVDs that just got released. But anyway... You know, this is going to be a fantastic weekend worth of films. And, you know, one thing that I always know, you know, because HBO has had episode 3, is that every time it's on, I click it on for at least 5 minutes to watch it. So here's an entire weekend of films where I try and click it on, and I'm going to click it on, and I'm going to go, oh, this scene's coming up. I got to make sure I watch this scene. And before I know it, I have a beard, and my hair's long, and my toenails are long, and I'm walking around in Kleenex boxes on my feet because I've been inside for so long, like Howard Hughes. So I'm really excited about this. I can't wait. You know, and just like you, I'll be picking up Cinemax as opposed to HBO just to for those of you who don't want to stay up or start at midnight on the 10th. On that Saturday, The Phantom Menace will begin at 1:15 or 1:45, somewhere around there. The full schedule is on Cinemax.com. Plus, they have a little trailer movie that'll get you excited if you need that, too. But, you know, and then they'll run straight through. And
we'll have a link on our show notes at TheForce.net. And we're toying around with the idea of maybe having a ForceCast listener party during that second run of the marathon starting on Saturday at 1:50. Maybe opening up a chat room, something like that, so we can all kind of experience this together. So let us know what you think. We're going to have a thread on our forums posted at threads.rebelscum.com. So we're going to get your thoughts on what do you think about maybe having a little get-together for ForceCast listeners to see the Star Wars saga in high definition. Lucas Online representative Pablo Hidalgo responded to a phony MySpace account masquerading as the official presence of StarWars.com on the Friendship Networking site. On his VIP blog at StarWars.com, Hidalgo listed a number of reasons why fans should have known better, including, number one, after 10 years, we've learned to spell official with the appropriate number of vowels. Two, we know a thing or two about what looks pretty on the internet and what doesn't. Number three, our music clearance extends to John Williams' score and not Kung Fu Fighting. And number four, Tom is not our friend. So there you have it. There's a couple more responses, so you can check it out. We do have a link to the blog at our show notes at TheForce.net. So now we emailed Pablo to see if we could get a little bit more detail on this story, because I thought it was kind of interesting. If you go to MySpace and do a search for Star Wars, you're going to find this goofy page, this goofy profile that claims to be StarWars.com. It's just a miserably put together page. No offense, for all we know, the guys listening out there. I mean, nice effort, but I wasn't fooled. Apparently, some people were, including George Lucas, who is also on MySpace. So, anyway, apparently, according to Pablo, we wanted to clear the air and let people know that Lucasfilm, or rather StarWars.com, does not have a presence on MySpace. They're apparently holding out. They're not sure this whole MySpace thing is, you know, really here to stay. Kind of like, you know, the DVD format.
Yeah. And kind of like my parents who still, you know, are holding out that maybe DVDs aren't going to actually be the next generation and still have their VCR hooked up flashing 12. But, you know, I mean, this is something that... I think they've got their nice little niche with the official website and hyperspace and everything like that. So MySpace may not be a thing that they really need to get into as much, but...
Well, it's free advertising, and I mean, we've experienced, because we just jumped on there, and you can actually see my profile at myspace.com/JasonSwank.
And my profile at myspace.com/PeterNadel.
And that's N-A-D-E-L, not L-E. So I would have... I used to always spell it L-E, actually.
Well, it's German. I don't know what that means, but...
But, you know, I was actually thinking about this, and if they do jump on MySpace, maybe it will be like the DVD format, and, you know, they'll refresh the page every 6 months like they do their own DVDs.
The Oregon Fan Force will be presenting a Star Wars Independent Film Festival at the Hollywood Theater in Portland on October 7th. Beginning at 12 p.m., they will screen Lucas and Audius Award winner from this year, Pitching Lucas, Trey Stokes' Pink 5 series, Peter Mather's Dark Redemption, just to name a few. Admission is only $1 or a can of food, and all proceeds will go to the Oregon Food Bank. You can check out the Oregon Fan Force at OregonFanForce.org.
I noticed how precisely you were pronouncing Oregon. Maybe you could tell us why.
Well, last week I mispronounced Oregon and pronounced it Oregon. Being from the Midwest, that's how we were taught. So, but I was happy to be corrected by someone who is out there who could tell me the proper pronunciation, which is Oregon.
But see, that's how they pronounce it out there. You know, we have folks here in Ohio that call it Ahia. And that doesn't necessarily mean that's how you pronounce it.
And not that we really claim, though.
Getting back to the story. So we've got a fan film festival, which sounds pretty cool. I think this would be one of the ways that I'd like to experience the fan films is on a big screen with a bunch of rabid fans and seeing a bunch of them at once. Be kind of a cool thing. I wish it was happening closer to here. Maybe we'll get one in the Midwest that we can go to.
Yeah, well, you can only watch things on YouTube so much. It gets a little bit frustrating just to see it on that screen. So it would be awesome to see something on the actual big screen. And again, with a lot of other rabid fans in it. And it's going to be a great cause, the Oregon Food Bank, obviously. Oregon.
I heard it.
The Oregon Food Bank is going to be getting all the proceeds. And obviously, coming around the holidays when it starts to get cold, we always want to make sure that we're helping out those people.
You say Qui-Gon, I say Qui-Gon, you say Han Solo, I say Han Solo. StarWarsShop.com has added a new feature to its print-on-demand shop that allows customers to create customized posters and prints featuring the more than 1,500 images provided by the site. The site had previously only supported custom t-shirt designs. Poster and print options range from a small portfolio print, 11 by 16, to the huge 35 by 50. Prices vary depending on printing, size, matting, and framing options. So, have you taken a look at this thing?
You could spend all day looking through there and still not cover everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's really infinite combinations. And this is cool because, I mean, you've got so many different, you know, if you want just a regular print, you know, like a portfolio print, you can use the cheaper paper, or you can get like actual canvas posters that are 35 by 50. I mean, some of the different finishes, you can get a poster finish, a matte print, a gloss print, a matte canvas, a gloss canvas. All the selections except for the basic are all printed in a special UV-resistant archival ink. So, you know, it's going to resist fading and discolorization. So it's pretty neat. You can actually personalize these with a name or a phrase or something. The phrases are still limited to what StarWarsShop.com wants you to use, so you can't get too creative. But nonetheless, it's hey, holidays are coming, so it's a great option for that Star Wars fan that has everything. You can get him a custom poster.
And our final story, rumors were abound this week that the game development company Free Radical is currently working on Battlefront 3 for the Xbox 360. Now, there's no confirmation from Free Radical or LucasArts yet, but we do know that they have teamed up on a project, and they are, quote, very excited about what it is. So, here we are. I'm very excited as well that they are actually developing a Battlefront 3, or at least at this point it looks like they are rumoring to be developing it. Maybe we should ask Yoda again.
Maybe we should. Here we go.
Yoda, is this, in fact, confirmation that we are going to see Battlefront 3 for Xbox?
Simple question you ask. Yes, I answer.
Well, there you have it.
There it is, folks. Getting back to the story, what is the rumor exactly? I mean, how do we know this?
Well, it was picked up by a couple of UK gaming magazines that this is the game that they're developing on. We did have confirmation
right.
Probably about a month ago, that Free Radical was teaming up with Lucasfilm. And, of course, they're the ones that developed the Time Splitter series, which is a very cool series that a lot of gamers really enjoy. It's won a lot of awards. So, hopefully, they're going to stand on the shoulder of the giants that are Battlefront and Battlefront 2 and come up with something that's just absolutely spectacular, which I completely believe they will. So, you know, that's still the rumor, is they just still haven't confirmed that this is going to be it. This is probably as close as we're going to get until an official confirmation, which won't come for quite some time. Just like in every instance, until they're absolutely sure and they can start marketing it, nobody's going to say a word from either company, just in case something falls through.
Right. I mean, from this amateur gamer's standpoint, I don't know how much better they can get than Battlefront 2. Now, I know that you've actually played and beaten both of the games. Where do you think the areas of improvement are, other than just, you know, your basic graphics?
You know, that's going to be the biggest thing, is graphics and just game interface. There will probably be a much broader online component to it, since it's using the Xbox 360 platform. You know, I think there will probably be more expanded worlds and a larger story mode, but also a larger combat mode and just more things, probably combining some of the aspects that everybody liked from both the first and second, and just some absolutely great additions to, you know, from probably even drawing from their experience in the game or the Time Splitter series.
And if you'd like to read more about these stories, you can check out links to everything we talked about on our show notes at theforce.net. And now part three of our interview with Star Wars artist Joe Caroni in the cantina.
Where are you going, Master? For a drink.
Sorry about the mess.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Hey, Joe, one of the projects, we kind of touched on it in, a little bit, but it's actually quite exciting. When you did the HoloNetNews.com site, that was building up to the release of Episode 2.
Right.
So you were actually kind of privy to some information before the rest of us. Was that right?
Yeah, well, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, it was very top secret, and I had to sign disclosure agreements and all that stuff. But for the past two prequels, Episode 2 and Episode 3, I was working on projects well in advance of the release of the movie. So, I mean, I was able to see a lot of material, you know, a year or longer before the movie even came out. So, it's, you know, I'm usually good about keeping my mouth shut about
right,
that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I was able.
Oh,
to
it's probably just killing your friends. Like,
well,
dude, you got to tell me, what does Grievous look like? What's he look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, as a fan, it's really cool to be able to experience that. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, doesn't that spoil the movie experience for you? And I'm like, well, no, because, I mean, yeah, I see a lot of the, you know, I might get to read the script, or I might get to see all these, you know, these film outs, you know, from the actual, from the principal photography, but it doesn't ruin it, because when you go to the movie and you see it for the first time, I mean, you've got the music, I mean, the pictures are in motion,
right.
you actually hear the dialogue coming out of the actor's mouth, you're not just reading it on paper, so it's like, it still is, you know, an amazing experience. So I wasn't spoiled at all. I mean, granted, I knew Episode 2 and 3 really well before everyone else did, but I mean, there's not just me, I mean, there were other artists and writers, and you know, a lot of this stuff has to be done so far in advance, so it comes out when the movie comes out. So, you know, there's a lot of us out there, but I mean, I guess I was lucky in that regard to be part of that experience. I mean, it's hard to really top that as an artist. When I do other projects, it's like, wow, you know, it's like, how can I get that same experience again? So.
Right, right. Well, so you've had you did work for the release of obviously Episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 3, and you did the Celebration 3 poster. Is there anything on your drafting table for Celebration 4 by any chance?
Right now I'm planning another limited edition print for Celebration 4 that's going to be celebrating the 30th anniversary of Episode 4, A New Hope. So I'm planning an illustration that will, right now, tentatively, will show basically all the major characters like Luke and Leia and Han and Chewie and the droids and Vader and possibly Tarkin and Obi-Wan. So I'm working on a piece right now that'll have all the characters, and it'll be available as a print at Celebration 4 if all goes according to plan. So cross my fingers on that. So
awesome. And I also saw that you've got some work with Hasbro coming up.
Oh, actually, yeah, I did. Earlier this summer, I did some character illustrations that are used on the package art for their new Marvel Comics 2-pack figures that just came out, or they're coming out really soon.
Mm-hmm.
Basically,
yeah.
If you look on the sides of the packaging, you'll see some graphic art of, like, it's on the plastic bubble, I think. And I don't know, they had me do full character illustrations, like, from head to toe, but they only showed on the package, at least on the sides of the package, they kind of cropped it so you only really see the head and shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if maybe they're going to use the artwork on the back of the packages, which I haven't seen yet. I haven't seen the back, but basically I did, this was my first artwork for Hasbro for Star Wars action figures, which personally it's a big deal just because I grew up with the Star Wars toys, you know, so.
Well, and that's...
It's a really cool feeling to be able, like, I can't wait to, like, go to Target and hopefully see the figures on the shelves.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know what's going to happen, Joe? You're not going to be able to get those figures, you know? They're going to fly off the shelves, and you'll be, like, you're standing there with the Target employee saying, but I designed the package.
No, it doesn't matter. They'll be like, well, you know, who cares? But
I'm sorry.
Like, you know, you got paid, didn't you?
Yeah, right. They'll give you the line, everything we have is already on the shelf.
Right, exactly. So
I'm looking at it right now. I love the picture of Tarkin that you did. Fantastic.
Oh, thanks.
On that package. Pete and I were talking. We're really excited about this particular line.
I mean, to be able just to have something on a Star Wars package, I mean, especially the toys, I mean, that's like, you know, it kind of blows my mind just because I mean, I still collect the Star Wars toys and stuff.
I was going to ask, are you still a collector? I mean, beyond the artwork.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as hardcore as I used to be, because financially, I just, you know, I can't afford it these days.
Tell me about it.
There's so much Star Wars stuff out there. You know, I would go broke if I collected stuff like I did back in school. You know, there'd be no way I'd be able to afford my rent. So
living on student loans and buying Star Wars figures.
Exactly. So these days, I mean, I still collect stuff, but I'm very picky about what I buy. I mean, usually with the action figures, I kind of stick to the Imperials and to the aliens. I love Star Wars aliens.
Yeah.
I love the design and the thought process that goes into them. So I like buying a lot of the background character stuff. But then if I'm not buying the kind of obscure action figures, I'm usually buying the larger figures, like the 12-inch stuff, or just, and again, I can't buy all of it because I can't afford it, but I tend to go after stuff like Darth Vader or Boba Fett, like my favorite characters and stuff, and I try to collect the stuff that, you know, I don't know, like the occasional Darth Vader statue or a Boba Fett figure, that kind of thing.
So. Well, I love to always ask, I like to ask people because it's funny because there's so much material, and I like to hear how they decide to whittle it down. You know, like our buddy Dustin, he just collects the R2 stuff.
Right.
Here's how I've narrowed it down. I'm a one of every figure mint on card.
I narrowed it down that way. You should seek help.
Now you sound like my wife, Joe.
No. That's really cool. I wish I could. I used to be that way, you know, but it's more of a time factor too. I mean, I don't have the time to hunt down the stuff because I'm trying to make a living with my art. So
yeah, just buy them by the case. That's what I started doing.
Yeah, it's easier that way. I know. I mean, I used to do that, but that was years ago. I mean, I've had to make myself really selective, and you know, I stick with the bad guys or the aliens, you know, that kind of stuff. And every now and then, I try to get like a nice high-end piece if I can afford it. But
right, I really, really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
We could probably
do about 10 or more of these and still not exhaust your amazing resume and your experience as a Star Wars fan. We'd love to have you back. Just a couple of questions.
Sure.
I wanted to bring up, what kind of advice do you have for other artists? You know, maybe there's that kid that was 8 years old when Episode 1 came out, and boy, he started just like you. He started drawing, you know, sitting on his living room floor and drawing in front of the TV. And he's listening to this now, and he's thinking, how do I make that leap from, you know, just, how does he do it? What can you say?
Wow, you know, it's the way to go about it is just to be to be true to yourself and have some self-confidence. I mean, skill and talent can really only take you so far. I think the other half of the equation is being passionate about what it is that you want to do and having a dream and basically following it through however best you can. So with me, I mean, I was just really passionate about Star Wars. I mean, I still am. And I was able, as a kid, and all through grade school and all through high school, even when Star Wars wasn't cool anymore, I was still, you know, collecting it and buying it. And it was just something I stuck with growing up. And when I was able to make a living, you know, when I was able to get a chance to make a living doing this stuff, I think it came from hard work and perseverance and passion. So it's just like, you know, don't, if you have a dream, you know, don't give it up. Even when you think it's unattainable, I mean, I think if you have some self-confidence in yourself and your own abilities, you can, you know. And also, I was lucky. I had some help from family and friends, and I still do. I mean, so that also helps, having people on your
absolutely
side, you know, people supporting you. So, it, you know, you can't do everything alone, that's for mm-hmm sure. So
you did. So you had friends and family that, you know, they were supporting your.
Oh,
you
definitely. I mean, my mom and my dad. I mean, all through school. I mean, they knew ever since I was, you know, I mean, basically ever since I was like 4 or 5 years old, I knew I wanted to draw comic books, and I knew someday I wanted to draw Star Wars. I mean, when I got a little older, I knew that was something I had to do no matter what. And, you know, once I got to high school, and I was like, I got to draw Star Wars comic books, you know, that was like, you know, and the only way I got to that point was just, you know, with the help of friends and mm-hmm family and practice. You know, practice takes you a long way. And I think as long as you're true to yourself and you treat people around you, you know, the way you want to be treated, then I think, you know, that can take you pretty far. So,
well, tell us, tell our listeners where they can see your work, where they can maybe buy some. I mean, I know that you're selling some of the original artwork, right?
Right. I mean, yeah, I all of my artwork can be seen on my official website, joecaroni.com. Basically, I update my website about every week or every week and a half or so, mm-hmm, either with new artwork or new content. I also have a MySpace page, which is linked to my official website. So if you go to joecaroni.com, you can click my MySpace link. You can go there and you can see some more artwork there. But yeah, I sell my original artwork through my website. I have an online store, and I have a new sketchbook available for sale. So if people go to my site and they want to, you know, own some of my artwork at a more affordable rate, they can actually buy a sketchbook, like a 50-page sketchbook, which has, mm, you know, a lot of artwork in it. But
and you do the appearances,
yeah, I mean,
right? You're also got a couple of conventions coming up?
Yeah, coming up next is Motor City Comic Con, and that's in Novi, Michigan, just outside of Detroit. That's, I believe that is October 14th and 15th. So if anyone's in the area, they can stop by and catch me there. There's going to be a lot of comic book artists and a lot of celebrities and actors signing. So it's a really cool convention.
Great.
So I hope everyone comes out and stops by and says, hey, there. And also Mid-Ohio Con is coming up November 25th and 26th, and that's in Columbus, Ohio. That's where I'm at. It's Saturday and Sunday after the Thursday Thanksgiving. Okay. So it's a not the always the best weekend for traveling, but it's a really good show if you're local or if you're in Ohio, or, you know, so. And then they always have a lot of great guests at that show, like a lot of big name celebrities come out, and there's a ton of comic book artists that show up there. So yeah, it's a great time. So,
well, excellent.
Those are my next shows coming up.
Well, Joe, we do have just a few more questions for you, and
okay,
I think we warned you about this earlier. This is the questionnaire that we ask all of our guests,
okay,
formulated by Yoda of Dagobah, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let Pete take it away.
Okay.
Okay, Joe, what is your favorite?
Hi,
how are you?
Good.
What is your favorite Star Wars line?
It's probably in Episode 4 at the end of the movie, when Han Solo tells Luke, he says, "Hey, Luke, may the Force be with you." I love when Han says that, because up until that point, he's kind of a disbeliever in the Force, and that's kind of the turning point for the character. I mean, even though he may not really believe, just the fact that he acknowledges it and he says it on Luke's behalf is such a cool moment.
Now, what is your least favorite Star Wars line?
Man, you could get me in trouble. I don't want to lose any Star Wars work with right. Lucasfilm.
You don't have to. If you'd rather not answer, you don't have to.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to wimp out. my least favorite Star Wars line. It might be something that Jar Jar says. Maybe. I love Jar Jar, but you know, he has some goofy lines, I guess. But my least favorite line might be when Anakin and Padme are in the in front of the fireplace in Episode 2, and he says something like, "I wish I could just wish all these feelings away."
Oh, you know? Thank you for saying that. I'm usually quiet during this part of the interview, but thank you for saying that.
There's something about that dialogue in that scene that, I mean, it feels a little unnatural, you know, so.
Okay, what Star Wars moment makes you smile?
Oh, wow. It's hard to pick one. You know, I think there's always three moments in Return of the Jedi that always make me smile, and I think the first one is when Luke is on the plank of the skiff, and he's about ready to get pushed into the Sarlacc, and R2-D2 shoots the lightsaber out of his dome, and Luke flips into the air and catches it. That always makes me smile. I love that part, because I love when the music kicks in right there. And then Luke all of a sudden turns into this, you know, kick-butt Jedi, you know. I love that part. That makes me smile. I guess the other one is when Lando is piloting the Falcon and out of the exploding Death Star and at the end of Return of the Jedi. I love that part. It always makes me smile. Even though, like, you know he's going to make it out alive. There's that split second where the fireball shoots out and then Lando just yells, and I love that part. That makes me smile, so...
What Star Wars moment makes you sad?
That's pretty easy. I think it's when Anakin, Darth Vader, dies at the end of Return of the Jedi. I think that one always gets me, I think.
Who is your favorite Star Wars character?
Probably Darth Vader. I love that character. I love that character story arc. I mean, I love that, you know, I love that the prequels really fleshed him out, and he goes from good to bad to good again. He's really fun to illustrate, you know, with the shadows and the cape, and just from a visual standpoint, I love drawing Darth Vader. And
okay, and who is your least favorite Star Wars character?
Wow.
You knew that
least
was coming.
Favorite. Yeah. I had to think about this one. I think it might be Dengar for some reason, because he's kind of, like, he's part bounty hunter, part stormtrooper, part mummy, and like... And, like, no one's really afraid of the mummy, you know? So it's like, Dengar, like, when I was a kid and I had the Dengar action figure, I never really wanted to play with him. Like, he was the one figure. I was like, what do I do with this guy? I don't know. He's just...
You always knew he was slower than the rest of the characters. Right. He drag his right foot.
Yeah, he was a little bit slower. He was always in the back of the bus, I guess. But.
Okay, and what is your favorite Star Wars curse word?
Oh, favorite... Well... Bantha Poodoo is a good one. I mean, I think even Dustin said that in the last interview. That's a good one. But just to be different, I think, actually my friend Abel Pena, the Star Wars author, on his VIP blog at StarWars.com, he has one of his blogs, he indexed, like, every Star Wars curse word ever, you know, so... and one of my favorites.
Oh my gosh, we got to check that out.
Go to StarWars.com and go to the blogs and then check out Abel Pena's VIP blog. But one of my favorite ones that he surfaced, I think, and it might have been in an X-Wing novel, one of Aaron Alston's X-Wing novels, but I think it was Sith Spit. I love that one. It's so colorful.
Okay, and what job would you like to do in the Star Wars universe?
I'd love to be a Jedi, but I don't think I'm disciplined enough to be a Jedi. I mean, I'd love to carry a lightsaber. That would just, that would be perfect. But, I don't know. I don't think I'd be a I don't know, I'd probably be more like Anakin if I was a Jedi. I'd probably screw up. So I'd probably want to be a bounty hunter or like a smuggler, I think. That would have like a lot of action to it, you know?
Okay, and what job would you not want to do in the Star Wars universe?
I always thought like moisture farmer would be really kind of dull, wouldn't it?
Okay, and finally, if another Star Wars movie was to be made and you were cast in it, what would you want to hear George Lucas say when he says cut on your last scene?
I'd want to hear him say, hey, don't worry, Joe, we'll fix it in post.
Awesome. Joe Crony, thank you so much for being here. I hope you'll join us again.
Oh, definitely. Anytime. Yeah, this was great. I had fun.
All right. Make sure you get a drink on your way out, okay?
Okay. I'll get a glass of blue milk on my way out.
And wink at the Tanaka twins.
Okay. I will. Will do.
All right.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
A fine addition to my collection.
He's worth a lot to me.
And checking in with Hasbro this week. Although not confirmed, a new item has entered Target computers titled Battle of Fallujah. The item, assumed to be a battle pack to feature figures from the final stand of Jedi Aayla Secura, along with Clone Commander Bly and other clones from the Star Corps. Now, we don't have a DPCI code for this yet, but all signs point to that's what this is. A new battle pack. There's all kinds of speculation and sort of a wish list of sorts over at rebelscum.com in the forum, so go over there and put in your two cents about what you'd like to see in this battle pack. It's probably, again, you know, we're going to see an Aayla Secura figure. We're going to see Commander Bly, a couple of unnamed clones.
Yeah, Commander Bly in one way, shape, or form.
Right.
You know, he showed up a few different times, a few different variations. So,
yeah, most likely the last one that came out with the brown striping to make it more accurate as far as the way he was depicted in the film. So be on the lookout for that coming soon to Target. Last week, we talked about a variant showing up in the Galactic Heroes line. So following up on last week's story of the variant in the Obi-Wan Kenobi Sand Trooper 2 pack, a new variant of sorts was discovered with the same error. This time, it's showing up in the 2-pack of Han and Luke in Stormtrooper disguise. Two different versions can be found with the same date stamp this time, one with the black strip or eyebrow line on the helmets and one without. So we're going to keep the Hasbro's going to be keeping the variant hunters busy with this.
What's going on with the eyebrows of these little galactic heroes? I mean,
I don't know.
Is there a firing problem in the molding urns of Hasbro that's causing half of these guys to come out without eyebrows?
No, I think what it is that somehow the schematic that went out to the factory there just had maybe some conflicting directions on there to not paint this particular line on the helmet. They look really weird without it. That's the thing. It looks much better with it. I used to be really into the variant hunting, and I just got to the point where, I mean, I remember back in the old days of the Power of the Force 2 line where, oh, I got the card with the .02 on the back, and oh, I got the, you know, I had it. But I still see these things, and I'm like, you know, of course, if I'm in the aisles, I'm going to be looking to see if I can find both versions. Now, there's a cryptically written post at rebelscum.com which indicates some of what 2007 may hold for us. So take this with a grain of salt. Maybe we'll ask Yoda here. But apparently, if we were to get into our time machine and take a look at 2007, as the post points out, the Jawa is not going to be part of the vintage line, but it will show up in the 30th anniversary line. However, in place of the Jawa, we're looking at a vintage IG-88 figure. Now, I don't know if this is a joke or if this is for real, but rather than getting the VOTC Jawa, we're getting VOTC IG-88.
I thought for sure you were going to tell me that we were going to get VOTC Darth Vader again.
No such luck. However, speaking of the Dark Lord, Transformer collectors be on the lookout for a large Darth Vader that transforms into the Death Star. Before I see the look you're giving me, because I know what a fan you are of the Transformers line. It's a circle. You know, I mean, it's a sphere, for crying out loud. I don't understand how. I'm going to be very curious to see it. That's all I have to say. I just, you know,
I have the feeling when it's all said and done, I will be appalled by it.
There's a good chance. Also,
why couldn't they made it Tarkin? They've already got a Vader TIE fighter. Make Tarkin or something. I don't know. I guess he's not as fun to play with.
I don't know what they're thinking, but at any rate, that's what we're going to get. Also, this has been long speculated, and it seems like it's being confirmed. There will be chase figures. There will be an Ultimate Galactic Hunt-inspired promotion next year. And rather than different colored minifigures, we're going to get chase figures with gold coins rather than the silver coins. And also, apparently, uniquely colored accessories, whatever that means. Now, you're laughing because I know you're laughing because you're picturing me in my madness the way I was with the Uggs this year.
You know, I am picturing that, and you're frantic trying to gather those and searching through all the new figures on the peg, hoping that we'll get one. But I'm also thinking about, what can you do that's different colored accessories? I mean, everybody knows they're not going to change the color of the lightsabers because that's death. Ask Sideshow about that. But, I mean, you know, are they going to release another Darth Vader with, instead of having just regular junk like he did with the Bespin Vader that was released this year, will he have holographic junk that will be that he can, you know, force throw at Luke? I mean,
gold junk, maybe gold plated junk to go with the gold plated coin. I don't know. I can sit here and mock and make fun, but I know in the file analysis, you know, whatever ones I don't get in my case, then I'll get I've already got ordered, as a matter of fact, for the first wave. I'll be out hunting in the stores.
Yes.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. And looking at the Q&A roundup posted at rebelscum.com, some interesting questions and some interesting answers. We're not going to bore you with all the details, but some confirmations came out that, yes, there will be super articulated versions of Obi-Wan as he appeared in Episode 1 and Episode 2, but not next year. But they did say it's on the radar. It's something that they're looking at. Now, there was a question that came up about, okay, so we know that you can't always give a lot of emphasis to collector-oriented figures, and when you're planning a wave, and you can't always just look at the kid figures. So how do you try to balance it? What's the mix? And it's kind of an interesting answer here. They said that, so what they're looking at is some core heroes, some lesser but still known heroes, and then an even lesser known hero. No, I'm kidding. And then some usually 2 to 3 collector figures. They say that the collector figures are drawn from a number of core categories. Troopers, Cantina Aliens, Astromechs. No, I'm kidding again. In all seriousness, Troopers, Cantina Aliens, Pod Racers, Ewoks, Droids, Alien Jedi, video game characters, Padme and other females. That's my favorite category. Padme and other females. Not like Princess Leia and other females. Padme and other females all of a sudden. So, you know, now the question is, like, where does Yarna fit in? I mean, and the Tanaka sisters. Are they in Padme and other females? Are they, you know, the Cantina aliens? Are they, well, they're obviously not alien Jedi, but where do they fit in?
Maybe they get double consideration from both categories, so they might get pulled. But, well, in all seriousness, they all fall in the collector category anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, the list does go on. They say Jabba's Palace denizens, separatists, senators, Jawas. You know, they say basically figures that they know are embraced by, if not all collectors, a strong and vocal subset. And they try to spread it around so that there's a good bet that most, if not all, of these categories will be represented each year. So there you have it. That's the balance, so they speak, or so they say, of, you know, what they're looking at when they're planning these waves.
I thought that was a good answer. I think that gives you a little bit of insight into what they're dealing with and where they're going on it. I mean, maybe that doesn't equate as well as some of us would hope, but hey, that at least gives you something to look at when you're looking for, all right, what's this next wave going to be? I know I can expect at least 2 collector's figures, and I think that's always something good to look forward to.
Yeah, and this next question is talking about, well, what consideration or importance do you place on having reusable parts? You know, basically the retool issue. And they say that by refreshing a figure using one that was created before, we can make changes to it, create accessories that might not have been possible before. A good example is Foul Mudama. We were able to create a new character by adding some parts to a figure we had before, which we probably wouldn't have done if we had to start from scratch. We do try and take that into account up front in some figures when it makes sense. So,
I loved his boots. I thought those were really cool. I mean, granted, the figure won't stand with them, but man, that was a really cool accessory.
It was a nice idea. And the question is, will the final wave of Saga figures, the Walmart exclusive, be as hard to find as the Separation of the Twins figures from last year? Actually, I want to say props to you, because I would not have the Separation of the Twin figures had it not been for you. You spotted those on a...
It pays to be at Walmart near midnight on a Thursday evening.
Well, what they say is the seasonal timing, more than anything, played a big role in helping clear out the Separation of the Twins so quickly. So since these are going to be on the shelves post-holiday, they're looking at a, you know, February 1st on shelf, the guess is that collectors will be able to find them without trouble. Hopefully, they add. I remember when Walmart had the Max Rebo band pairs, and they were pretty easy to find. So it is possible to have an exclusive to where they are available readily. And then sometimes, again, like with Separation of the Twins, if you snoozed, you lost. Wait, what? And in answer to last week, there was a question that came up about planning 9 waves for 2007. And this is a great question. I've been kind of wondering this too, because we know that we're going to get the comic 2-packs, which obviously will incorporate some EU characters. But they're saying, will there be a specific expanded universe wave, or will the EU figures continue to be peppered into the movie-themed waves where they were this year? And since you can't talk about specific figures, can you give us a hint about the themes of those 9 waves? So their answer is, there will be a themed EU wave next year that will have most, if not all, of the EU figures. Clone Wars, game-related figures, etc. Most of the 6 movies, but not all, will have at least 1 wave, while some of them will have more than one. So, and we know they're kicking off the 30th anniversary of A New Hope with the Revenge of the Sith assortment, which is sort of ironic. Possibly considering farming out Unleashed. Now, that was an interesting answer. Question was, you know, being that the success of Sideshow, the 12-inch line, and you farmed that out to them, what about the Unleashed? And they said they would possibly consider it. So, who knows? There may be hope for you yet, Pete.
Well, I wouldn't really care if they farmed it out or not, just as long as somebody is doing the line, because it's one that I really enjoyed. So,
I would love for them to do that, because I think the more that they do this, the more they're going to see that it's possible to retain, you know, the Hasbro identity of some of these items, but at the same time turn it over to a more, dare I say it, collector-friendly retailer or merchandiser, licensee, whatever you want to use. Just a couple more things to finish up our Hasbro report this week. Death Star Trooper will be out in 2007, and it will be a new sculpt. So we can look forward to that. So those of you who got the early bird kit, the re-released early bird kit, that are wanting to complete that whole lineup there, you will have a Death Star Trooper. So that's good news. This was interesting, and I'm treading on your toes a little bit here, but the exclusive Imperial Shuttle vehicle. We've got a DPCI code in the Target computers. They asked, when is it going to be released? We even have photos that we covered a couple weeks ago of it in box. Hasbro's answer? No comment. Speculation?
I don't want to say that this could possibly mean that there may have been a deal that fell through with them and Target, since it was a Target exclusive.
I mean, if they're going out and saying, hey, we can confirm Death Star Trooper next year, we can confirm some of these other things, you know, a whole wave of EU. I mean, they're giving us a lot of information here this week. No comment on a vehicle that we've seen boxed photos of and that has a DPCI code. That's strange. And this question gets brought up every week, and I believe they answered this week in all capitals and bold. The question, please give us a playset in 2007, Hasbro. The answer, absolutely not. But be sure to check out our vehicle lineup, and we think you'll be happy. So they're really kind of hoping to stove off some of the angst for the playsets with maybe some new vehicles, some retooled vehicles. And like we've said on the show before, I don't really have a problem with the retooled vehicles because they do keep getting better. Speaking of vehicles, the question came up about a Sith infiltrator and what the scale would be. Now, with all due respect to my fellow fan who wrote this question, he asked if the scale of the Sith infiltrator would be large enough for a Sith speeder and some probe droids. I don't know how long this person has been collecting Hasbro vehicles and action figures. But Hasbro's answer is, yes, it is true, there will be a Sith infiltrator. It will be developed for the 1999 Starfighter vehicle line. So liberties will be taken with the scale, but there will be cool features, and it will be designed for one pilot. We can't wait to show fans the final product. It's a sensational vehicle. Again, going out on a limb, this really has kind of got my stomach in knots because I'm really counting on this Imperial shuttle. But anyway, getting back to the Sith infiltrator and our good friend that wrote this question, you know, no, it's not going to be a large-scale vehicle. They've kind of answered that. They're not going they just don't feel that it's profitable to have vehicles of this size.
Everybody would love, actually, to have a scaled vehicle, but A, very few people could afford it, and B, now you can't, as collectors, we can't count out that there are kids playing with the toys, and no kid wants to walk around with a toy that weighs twice as much as he does and try and, fly it through, and he can only play with it in one room because it won't fit through the door.
There are considerations, and if I may, I don't mean to get on my soapbox here. Yes, I do, but you and I have talked about this a lot, that there, when you're collecting a toy line, there are certain conventions, there are certain rules, there are certain attributes to a particular line of toys that identify it. I have never been a big fan of the super articulated figures. I'm old-fashioned. It harkens back to the vintage days. A Star Wars figure has 5 points of articulation, and these, excuse me, but G.I. Joe rip-off super articulated figures tend to drive me a little nutty because I think they sacrifice sculpting and the look of what is a Star Wars figure just to throw in a swiveling ankle or, a funky neck so his head can turn up, it's one of my pet peeves. I still love the line. I still collect the line. But, man, it drives me crazy. Because, again, a G.I. Joe figure. We all know we got the rubber band in the belly and, the little cod piece that always broke off. At least mine always did. And they got the wiggle butt, the wiggle legs. I mean, that's just part of what makes a G.I. Joe figure. I think what has made Star Wars figures is that unique look that they had. It was always sort of kind of treading the line between animated style or a simplified cartoonish style and a realistic style. And they've kind of moved away from that, and, oh well, that's all I have to say about that. There's your Hasbro update for this week.
And Sideshow Radio checks in again this past week with some new information on the Snow Bunny Padme and a new bombshell about who their next EU character is going to be, and that will, of course, be Asajj Ventress. So I thought that this was pretty appropriate, since they've showed us constantly the pictures of the kind of creepy head of Padme, Snow Bunny Padme.
The bald Padme.
They've already got the bald head to use for Asajj Ventress, because they're a little bit similar looking, so they can just work right from that. I'm sure they'll have to use a different body and those types of things. But
it seems like that's pretty much their sculpting method, is to start with a bald head and then add the hair, which I thought was great until I received my Qui-Gon figure this week. And it's, with all these Sideshow 12 inches, they're great. But I showed it to my wife, and she's like, I said, is there anything wrong with this? When you look at this, she goes, yeah, it looks like he's got a bad rug. And it kind of does. I mean, it looks like he's got, glued on hair.
Yeah, actually, Lego snap-on hair, I think, was something that we came to a consensus
right.
on.
Right. So, I know that's part of the way they sculpt, they get the head sculpt, the face sculpt done, and they add the hair later. And I remember seeing the Anakin done that way. And that, you'd never know it. You'd never know that it was a separate piece. But with Qui-Gon, you do. So,
well, take heart, because Asajj Ventress is completely bald, so you don't have to worry about it.
We were discussing this morning. The last two announcements from Sideshow have really underwhelmed me. The troopers, And our troopers, not really all that excited. And I would be a lot more excited for a character that we haven't seen made into a figure. I think Asajj Ventress is a, I mean, she's got a cool design. She's got a great look. But we've already seen her in a realistic movie-style fashion from Hasbro. We've already seen her in an animated Clone Wars style. So, I don't know. It's kind of a non-event for me.
I'm pretty jazzed about it. I love that character. I think it's a cool character. I like all the Sith characters. I think they really bring a different look to the Star Wars
universe. Yeah, there's an edge. There's an edge.
And there's an edge to it. So I'm pretty jazzed about it. And, you know, I think that if they did limit themselves to things that haven't gotten the plastic treatment yet, there would be a pretty short list of things that they could pull from. And usually the reason they haven't gotten the plastic treatment so far is because, well, there isn't much demand on it. So I think this is probably something that came directly out of their research. I don't know where Asajj Ventress ranked on their poll that they did to see who was right. going to be their first EU character. But
she was one of the contenders, I know. So
absolutely. I'm sure she was pretty well up there if since she was not the winner. But
right.
I would assume that they'll probably get to most of those before the line is said and done and we're 100.
I'm really holding out, though, for that, you know, a Palpatine or a Vader. I was kind of hoping that would be one of the next announcements.
Well, I think we'll probably see those. Again, this is just a, hey, we're probably going to do Asajj Ventress with our next EU character. We still haven't gotten Snowbunny Padme, and we're a year in. So this may be a year or maybe even more out. I would think that we will probably get some other canon characters sooner rather than later with that. And following up on their announcement from San Diego Comic-Con, the 1-to-1 scale droids that they debuted were taken back to the shop and retooled and made even better than they were before. Check out their blog notes on and their production notes on SideshowToy.com for more information on what they did to reassemble these and some great production photos.
How do they look?
They look absolutely fantastic. It looks like you could turn around and talk to C-3PO and R2-D2.
There was some criticism coming out of Comic-Con, thinking, wow, we're so used to the bar that they've set with all the other lines that they have, and this 1-to-1, there was a lot of anticipation for the 1-to-1 droids, and people were like, eh, it's okay, but not quite there. Obviously, they care about what the collectors think, and they were willing to kind of put it out on the line and say, okay, here's what we've done so far, and take the feedback and, you know, not go back to the drawing board per se, but, you know, retool them.
And wrapping up our Sideshow news for this week, Rebel Scum's Probe Droid poll, which measured what do you think of Sideshow's plan to release three different versions of their Endor Rebel Soldier, finished up with 2,715 responses. 25% loved it, 17% liked it, 21% were indifferent, 14% didn't like it, 10% hated it, and 10% said, I quit. So, for the most part, you're looking at about 42% of the people were pretty jazzed about it and will go forward with it. And about two-thirds of the people either liked it or weren't really too, were a little bit indifferent about it. So
yeah, I think I would, I'm not in the I quit category yet, but I am in the I hated it category.
I was thinking maybe you were more of a I don't like it.
No, I hate it.
Okay, you hate it.
And checking in with LEGO this week, pictures taken from the latest LEGO catalog showing off first quarter offerings for 2007 can be seen at rebelscum.com. The ad, written in German, mentions that 2007 releases will be a balance between new sets and bestsellers with new designs. The ad also makes mention, as we talked about earlier this week, of a 30th anniversary set of DVDs. Now, in this ad, the Imperial landing craft is sort of the main attraction. Another interesting fact that was on the ad was that LEGO Star Wars items make up 78% of all the revenue from Star Wars licenses in Central Europe, which I thought was just an incredible number.
That seems like a very high number.
Yeah, 78% of the revenue from Star Wars licenses in Central Europe come out of the LEGO items. The only thing I can think of is, I don't know, and if you're a collector in Central Europe, I don't know that Hasbro has as large a presence as LEGO does. I know that it's tough for collectors outside of the U.S. to get a lot of the Hasbro figures. I know that the prices of the figures are pretty high in other parts of the world. So that's the only thing I can think of, is just maybe LEGO has a, you know, much stronger presence in these other countries. But also, speaking of 2007 LEGO, Brickset.com has added three additional LEGO sets for 2007 to its database. The additions include the Trade Federation MTT, that's the sort of battle droid transport, the Jedi Starfighter, and the Naboo Fighter. Now, details are unknown at this point. We don't know whether these are going to be part of the Ultra Collector Series. Speculation, a lot of speculation going on over at the forums at RebelScum.com. So check it out if you're a LEGO collector.
A bit of late breaking news from Master Replicas, as it appears that Corgi International, a producer of high-quality die-cast collectibles, will merge with Master Replicas in a stock-for-stock transaction. The company will retain the Corgi name. Now, this is an official announcement, but we're looking to get a little more information before we really dive into what this is actually going to mean.
Yeah, we don't know what this means for the future of the Star Wars line. I have some ideas. I know, Pete, you have some ideas, but we don't want to go off, half-cocked here. We're going to wait. Let the folks at Master Replicas speak to the collectors. Let's get some more information. And maybe next week we'll actually have somebody from Master Replicas on, which would be great. Hopefully we can get some official word from the folks themselves.
All the classic battles.
Delta Squad, execute door breach.
Any way you want.
We have all but destroyed the Jedi Knights.
Fight as a Jedi.
The Old Republic is crippled.
Fight in space.
Darth 3PO?
And in gaming news, Star Wars LEGO 2, the original trilogy, continues to chug along as it's showing up at number 4 in the PC title sales. For those of you playing on Xbox 360, Xbox Live, there is a download that you can get for the prequel characters. Now, this isn't free. You do have to pay for it.
You don't actually earn it, or you earn it by paying for it?
Well, it's 200 Microsoft points. I'm sure the short end of it is that you can put in your credit card and get them very quickly. And be sure to check out Hyperspace, if you haven't gone over there lately, for their Secrets of Star Wars 07 images. They're up to 21, and the most recent photo that's added to the collection is a photo entitled Grim Trophies, which, of all the images that we've seen so far, this is the one that made me stand up and think, I can't wait till this next-gen title comes out.
It's pretty sweet. Well, let's just say what it is. It's labeled as a Jedi General standing with a Maul-inspired double-bladed lightsaber, standing in front of a pile of Stormtrooper helmets. And this looks totally hardcore.
It's awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, and if you sign up, make sure you vote for Dustin Roberts.
I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father, before the dark times. Before the Empire.
Always in motion is the future. Beyond the Outer Rim.
Master Voss has moved his troops to Bos Blitty.
We kick off our Expanded Universe coverage with more information regarding the DarthWho.com promotion from Del Rey and Lucas Books. You can check out all the details at DarthWho.com, which is a redirect to StarWars.com/DarthWho. The grand prize is that you get to christen Jason Solo with his new Darkseid name for Karen Travis's Star Wars Legacy of the Force Sacrifice book coming out early next year. Now, the rules are pretty simple. You got one entry per person, so you want to get it right the first time. There's no re-entry on this thing. And you have until January 23rd to get it in, so we got a while. But come up with a good Darth blank name for Jason Solo. So the top five are going to be listed at StarWars.com somewhere between January 23rd and February 27th. And the winner will be acknowledged at the beginning of Karen Travis's book, kind of as a special thank you. So what a way to make your mark on the whole Star Wars universe, really. Because if you're not reading this series, we talked about it last week. It's a great series. I'm really enjoying it. I've got lots of emails responding to my question, is it worth reading Bloodlines? You know, there was at one time kind of an idea that the paperback stories, at least with the New Jedi Order series, were not necessarily lesser stories, but of lesser importance. That's not the case, apparently, with Legacy of the Force. And Bloodlines, according to our listeners, is every bit as good as Betrayal, if not better. So I guess I'll be picking it up, which is cool because it's only like $6 as opposed to, you know, 25.
Well, I have to say that I'm a little bit disappointed because my suggestion of Darth Pete
hasn't gained much momentum.
Has already actually fallen off the table as far as momentum goes, and it may actually only have two people that are behind it, myself, and I know you're not in there.
No.
My mom probably is.
Well, I think you might have better luck actually doing the old Star Wars trick of just reversing it. So it'd be like Etep. Darth Etep.
Darth Etep or Darth Landon. Which...
Ooh. Now, Darth... it's pretty close to Lando, though.
Yeah, both of them really don't work all that well. So I'm just pretty much going to give up on trying to immortalize myself as the next Darth, but... Hopefully one of our listeners out there will get to do it, and maybe we can have them on to talk about where they came up with it. And fans of the Star Wars Dark Horse titles will be somewhat disappointed to learn that most of the titles will be delayed in their shipment dates. Rebellion No. 5, which was originally scheduled for August 9th, 2006, will be pushed back to November 29th, 2006. Legacy No. 4, which was originally scheduled for September 6th, will be pushed back to October 11th. Knights of the Old Republic 9, which was scheduled for September 27th, is now back to October 25th. And most recently, Dark Times No. 1, which was supposed to ship on October 25th, will now ship in November, on the 12th of November. Good news is that the X-Wing Rogue Squadron Omnibus No. 2, the Empire Trade Paperback Volume No. 6, and the Tag and Bink Trade Paperback are all still scheduled to ship on time. You can pretty much anticipate that most of those titles that have been delayed at this point will continue to be delayed by a month. And if you have any question on shipment dates of your favorite titles are going to be, check out the Jedi Journals on RebelScum.com. They are very faithfully updated by our buddy Jovial J, who incidentally also supplies me with all the information regarding appearances of our EU characters of the week.
Well, we owe a lot to Jovial J. He's a devoted listener, and he's kind of like our fact checker. It's always after the fact, though. You know, he'll send us that email on Friday morning. Hey, guys, just listen to the show, and it's pronounced this, or you were wrong about that, or again, you were wrong about this still.
for anybody who is a fan of the ESPN's Pardon the Interruption, he is our stat boy that does all of our fact checking. So we really appreciate it, Jay. Thanks very much for all your help with everything. And again, check out the Jedi Journals if you're looking for any information on any of the Star Wars titles or any of the comic shipping dates.
And speaking of EU Character of the Week, Pete, take it away.
We take our first look into the criminal underworld with this week's Expanded Universe Character of the Week, Prince Xizor. Xizor was born into the royal family of the planet Faelyn. It was home to one of the Empire's biological weapons laboratories, and thus its royal family was very wealthy and influential. 7 years prior to the Battle of Yavin, there was a terrible accident and a flesh-eating bacteria was released. Darth Vader ordered the laboratory and the city surrounding it to be destroyed to contain the outbreak and keep the project a secret. The bombardment killed Xizor's parents, brother, sister, and three uncles, but he escaped peril as he was off-planet securing his place as Vigo of the criminal organization Black Sun. When he returned to the devastated planet, he concealed all the evidence of his prior life to prevent any suspicion of his vendetta against Darth Vader. Xizor began building two separate empires. One is a legitimate entrepreneur, and one rooted in the galactic underworld. His ability to read beings enabled him to gain influence very quickly, but he put little faith in the Force, which fed his rivalry with Lord Vader.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
He used his legitimate businesses to launder the funds of the criminal organization, but the main reason for both was to return him to the cultural elite and to allow him to exact revenge on Darth Vader. He chose his power plays carefully and did so to gain favor with the Emperor. He attempted to break up the Bounty Hunters Guild in order to create a supply of freelance bounty hunters for the Empire to use.
Bounty hunters? We don't need that scum.
He failed and only forced the guild to split into separate factions. He also meddled in the Hutt hierarchy when Durga the Hutt's parents were poisoned. Shizor led Durga's investigators to several dead ends and forced Durga to seek him out for the identity of the real culprit, Jabba, so that he would be indebted to him. Shizor told him of Jabba's treachery, but had his personal assassin, the replica droid Giri, ensure that no harm fell on Jabba. Shizor was present when Vader spoke to the Emperor from the Executor about Luke Skywalker.
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
He felt he could get to Skywalker first, and saw killing him as an opportunity to humiliate Vader and cause him to lose favor with Palpatine. He laid in wait for the opportune moment, but continued to play the odds. He was intricate in allowing the plans to the second Death Star to be captured by the rebels, positioning himself to come out on top whether the trap succeeded or not.
Many Bothans died to bring us this information.
His desire to add a being equal to himself to his harem led to his undoing as he became infatuated with Princess Leia. Leia attempted to contact Black Sun to gain information about Han, and Shizor extended an offer to her to see her at his palace. He used his natural pheromones to try to seduce her and almost succeeded, but she resisted and landed a blow to the prince's riches. He locked her up, and Luke, Lando, and Dash Rendar came to her aid. Shizor scoffed at the thought that anyone could enter his citadel, but found out firsthand that he was vulnerable when Leia escaped and he came face to face with Luke. Shizor backed off and allowed them to leave when Luke pulled a thermal detonator.
Because he's holding a thermal detonator!
As they fled, Lando tossed another thermal detonator down a service chute and caused an evacuation of the palace. Shizor's forces pursued the rebels and ran into Darth Vader's forces in a fierce space battle. Shizor foolishly announced that Luke was there, which caused Vader to give him an ultimatum. Call off the attack or face his wrath.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Shizor refused to believe that Vader would attack him and continued to pursue Luke.
Then you will meet your destiny.
Shizor's skyhook was destroyed by the Executor, and he has been missing since the battle and is presumed to have perished in the blast. If you'd like to read more about Shizor's run-ins with the Skywalkers, check out Steve Perry's 1996 novel Shadows of the Empire. Or if you'd like to follow up on Shizor's backstory, you can check out West End Games' Secrets of the Sisar Run, a gaming adventure based on the events surrounding Shadows of the Empire, 1998's Rebel Dawn, and the Bounty Hunter Trilogy. You can most recently see Shizor in the hyperspace-exclusive comic strip, Evasive Action, Prey.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message after the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
And our first Star Wars tale comes to us this week from Dean Mays in Adelaide, Australia. I have a Star Wars moment I'd like to share with you. In 1984, when I was 10 years old, I went to a matinee performance of the musical Cats at Her Majesty's Theatre in Melbourne, Australia. At the time, I was aware, don't ask me how, I was a little strange boy, that Femi Taylor, Ula in Return of the Jedi in the special edition, was performing in the Australian production of Cats. Excited at the prospect of seeing a bona fide Star Wars star in the flesh, I remember telling my friends of this fact on the train journey to the city from country Victoria, only to be ridiculed and teased, even by my teacher, for telling a whopper. Upsetting as this was, I wasn't deterred in my belief, and I was pleased when I got to the theater and I got my program to find that Femi Taylor was indeed in the cast, though I couldn't be sure that she would be participating in our particular performance. The fact that Femi Taylor was at least in the program only partially swayed my friends and teacher, who were still somewhat skeptical, and I was still considered to be on the outer. Well, the show began, and I eagerly kept my eye out for Femi Taylor's definitive features, and I was thrilled when I spotted her despite her full feline costume. I knew I had been vindicated. But the best was yet to come. After the performance, we were told that we would participate in a meet and greet with the cast on stage, and so we duly filed down the aisle towards the stage area. Would I seriously get the opportunity to meet Femi Taylor? The possibility was almost too much to bear. My friends by this stage were bored and fidgety, come on, it was Cats after all, and were keen to have lunch. When we got to the stage and the cast came out, I was blown away as I spotted among them Femi Taylor herself. Gingerly plucking up as much courage as I could, I parted from our group and went over to her where a few people had milled around her admiring her costume. Seeing this slightly nervous 11-year-old boy clutching his program, Femi flashed me a warm smile and leaned down to say hello. Within earshot of my friends, who were now showing some interest, I quietly said to her, "I thought you were great in Return of the Jedi, but I was sad when you fell into the pit." To which Taylor replied with a pleasant laugh, "Well, thank you very much. I had a great time working on Star Wars, though Jabba badly needed a bath." The ice was broken, and Femi Taylor and I spent a few minutes chatting about her Star Wars experience, while my slack-jawed friends looked on in complete amazement. Our conversation finished with her thanking me for taking the time to come and say hello, and that she hoped I enjoyed the show. Suffice to say, I returned to my group with my newfound popularity assured. Everyone wanted to sit next to me for the rest of the day on the train ride home. I have never forgotten that experience, and whenever I look at my Ula and Salacious Crumb 2-pack in my office at home, I can't help but smile. Keep the podcast coming, guys. I love it.
That's a really cool story. 11 years old and going to a lavish Broadway musical, a Star Wars fan. What's not to love about this kid?
Well, and I have to appreciate the fact that he actually had the courage to walk up to her and actually say something.
Kind of like me and Ian McDiarmid over the summer.
Yes, but you were 29.
And our next Star Wars tale comes from Mark in London. And this is funny because it reminds me of, you know, when you have those certain songs that you have in your head and you think you know the lyrics, and then you actually see the lyrics written down somewhere and you realize that you've had it wrong for all those years. Well, that's what this Star Wars tale is kind of about, these misconceptions. He says, a few weeks ago, I mentioned to my firstborn son, Ben, age 5, asked him if he'd like to watch Star Wars Episode 1, A Phantom Menace. So I got the DVDs out, sat down with him, and wow, it was like being transported back to 1977. I felt like I was a kid again, and my son loved it. Over the last few weeks, we slowly made our way through all 6 of the films, and my passion for Star Wars has truly been reignited. But this time, I have a young Padawan by my side to share the experience. A funny story I have to tell is when we finished with Return of the Jedi, Ben was quite taken by the teddy bears. They're Ewoks, I kept telling him, Ewoks. But he really got confused about the difference between a holocommunication, or telephone as he calls it, like you see throughout episodes 1, 2, and 3, and Obi-Wan coming back from the dead as an apparition. He kept asking, when are we going to see Obi-Wan on the telephone again? And he said, never, Ben. He's just a ghost. And he still didn't get it. Which brought me back to the TFN forum for other Star Wars-related misconceptions. And the best one I found was a thread on how it seemed that quite a number of people thought when they watched Star Wars as a kid that Darth Vader was only after the Millennium Falcon and not Control of the Galaxy. When you think about it, it kind of makes sense. I'd love to hear and share any other funny threads that you find on Star Wars-related forums on your podcast. So that's kind of interesting, you know, what you... I guess I always thought that he was after the droids and not necessarily after the ship or really after total galactic domination. I don't think we really see that until Empire when he... you know, asks Luke to join him and overthrow the Emperor. But what I like about this email so much is that idea of sharing the films with a child of your own.
And we have some listener mail from Head Jedi Master Riley Epp and the Council. Hello, my fellow Jedi. Good news, you have more listeners. I recently told my Padawans about your site, and you guys have been the start of conversations here at the Council. I am a new listener, too, and heard the one 2 weeks ago about Asajj Ventress and how you said she perished on the planet. I don't know if you just didn't want to say it, but she really was in a medical capsule and rerouted the drivers to a planet in the unknown regions. You have a great show, keep it up, and may the Force be with you. From Master Epp, Master Cardinal, Master Durrett, Master Alberding, and Master Boss, who we hope is getting better. P.S. If you're wondering, we all are 12. Well, Riley, I do have to tell you, I did know that that was the case, but I wanted to make sure that we kind of left things up in the air. So in case people wanted to go out and read the story for themselves, love the fact that you guys are tuning in and hope you're having some good conversations based on some of the stuff that we've talked about.
And my listener mail this week is from Jeremy. Jeremy doesn't tell us where he's from. He just goes by Jeremy B. He says, I just wanted to say that I enjoy your show. One idea I have would be a section that covers listener-submitted product ideas. One such idea would be a Han Solo in Carbonite, where he is completely enclosed on both sides with rolling wheels, which could be part of a 2-pack with Boba Fett. I also wanted to contribute my comments on why I think the Ultra Titanium line was not successful. The line is a die-cast retool of the Action Fleet line, which many vehicle collectors probably already had started to have a portion in their collection. Newer vehicles would have been a good idea. The display cases for the line are rather large, and many collectors like me living in Manhattan are cramped for space as things are. Thanks, and keep up the good work, Jeremy B. Jeremy, I like the idea. I think that is kind of like what the Hasbro Q&A is for, although that relates just to Hasbro products. So absolutely, if you've got a product idea And you want to give us a call at 330-871-4TFN or send us an email at podcast@theforce.net. And we think it's a cool idea. We're definitely going to give it some airplay. We want to make sure you try to get those Star Wars tales in. We're loving those. One of those warm and fuzzy Star Wars stories that we like to hear. So get those in. Once again, the phone number is 330-871-4TFN. And you can email it and type it out the old-fashioned way. Better yet, pipe down an MP3 audio file so we can play it on the show. Send those to podcast@theforce.net. Well, it looks like that's going to about do it for this week's show. We want to thank our good friend Joe Caroni for joining us in the cantina. Don't forget, next week, Kyle Newman, the director of next year's Fanboys, in the cantina at the ForceCast.
And keep the feedback coming at our voicemail at 330-871-4TFN or at podcast@theforce.net. We want to hear those Star Wars tales, even product ideas if you've got those. So make sure to send those out to us. As well, check out our forums at rebelscum.com.
And thanks for listening. For the ForceCast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.